today on Real Radio.
You know what's amazing about a man who's been created in the image of God and who the Bible says that the man's the head of the house and the head of the wife? You know what's so great about that? He can step into the house or to her world and speak a word and totally cause her to blossom into an incredible woman. It's amazing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian While Being a Husband. In living out our Christianity, we need to develop a practical and effective plan to walk with God at all times and in any situation. We say God's Word contains these answers to life, but at some point, we're to move from simply understanding the Bible to actually applying it to our lives. When the Bible talks about a husband, we'll discover how he's been given a unique position in life. He is a representative of God's very nature and person. Being a Christian husband, well, it's perhaps the most powerful calling that God can give in this world. Even the Lord refers to himself as not only the head of the church, but also a husband to Israel. A Christian husband is a model of how God loves Israel and how Jesus loves the church. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that husbands have also been given a unique love, a love so deep that it puts a desire in his wife to draw even closer to the Lord, gentle, kind, and caring. He's engaged in her world with encouraging words that cause her to blossom as a woman. And now in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Husband, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Christian man is to understand that both he and her are heirs to the kingdom of God. Amen. And by the way, he's not 3 inches taller than her. He's not up on the... What do you mean heirs? I'm going to get more than you, right? Because I'm the man. No! We're all one in Christ. Yeah, but it said weaker vessel. You know what that... A lot of people want to argue. The wife's the weaker vessel. Do you know what the word means? The word means that she has been created by God more physically tender than us. That is a good thing. It doesn't mean she's got half a brain. There are religions out there that believe that a woman was created with a half a soul, a half a brain, and that religion's growing all over the world at gangbuster rates. I don't get it. Hey, come join our religion. Women have half a brain. Sign me up. No, God says the same. See, well, what about the weaker vessel? She is more tender. And I don't know about you, but that's a good thing. God's awesome, you know? He makes men just kind of like a truck. And women are like, you know, like a Ferrari. A truck, you just drive around dirt and rain and you back it up, you push shopping carts out of the way with it. A Ferrari man, Ferraris are funny, Porsches, those kind of cars. I don't have one, I'll never have one. I'm sure God will never let me have one, but I could imagine. And you know, you gotta be careful how you drive it. In fact, there's some cars so technical that you can't even take it off the lot and buy it. You have to be trained how to drive it. Seriously, and then you have to wipe it this way. And let me tell you, when a man is that committed to a car, he just starts talking to it. Women are like that. They're just different, and they're tender. When this is the weaker vessel, that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, number two, here's our homework. Guys, our assignment is this. Your wife is the second most important person in your life. Who do you think number one is? God's number one, your wife's number two. If you have kids, they're next. You're somewhere down the... I thought it was me. It's not you. If God's number one, she's number two, aren't I number three? Well, maybe. If you have kids, you know, just buy a really good dog and that's your friend. And, you know, because you got kids, it's just you got about the next 20 years before things get back to normal, you know. It's not about us, guys. our responsibility as being a Christian husband is awesome. I don't know about you, but I dig being a husband. It's hard work. It's also spectacular. It's a lofty calling, and it's something. Point number three, a husband has been given a unique love. A unique love. Unique. Amazing. A Christian husband's love is to draw his wife closer to God. His love for her should, listen, cause her to want to draw closer to God. Guys, we are to love our wives, we'll hear more on that in a moment, in such a way that she wants to draw closer to the Lord. What happens when that's not going on in a marriage? If he is not treating her right, she doesn't want anything to do with you, and many times it results in a broken relationship, in a broken home, because in a strange demonic attack, she winds up taking it out on God. If you ask her, do you love the Lord? Yes, I do. But you know what? He's hurt me so bad, I'm leaving this relationship. And it's a strange thing how many women have said, I can't take it anymore, the way that he treats me. And she transfers that over to her relationship with God. And she runs away from the church. She runs away from her relationship with God. She runs away from all of her Christian friends. That's not the thing to do. But a lot of men who just never took the time to love on their wives and to find out what that love should look like has maybe intentionally or unintentionally caused their wives to stumble. The way that God has called a Christian husband to love his wife should cause her to want to draw closer to Christ. I know that's a tall order. In Jack 1, verse 1, it says, let every husband... Oh my, I didn't know they were going to put that up. Let every husband read the Song of Solomon and the Book of Ruth once a year. Guys, listen, you need to do that. Every husband in the house, you need to read the Song of Solomon. Look, consider yourself blessed. In Israel, a man's not allowed to read it till he's 30 years old. So if you're under 30, look, it's a freebie here. You can read it. Just be near a cool shower. But every husband needs to read the Song of Solomon and the Book of Ruth. You should read it at least once a year. Why? Because something very cool. 90% of the Song of Solomon is the art of using words in the love language. Words. Song of Solomon. The words. Women are suckers for words. God wired them that way. Words. Have you ever seen a beautiful woman with a guy as ugly as sin? He probably treats her like gold. He probably says things that she likes to hear. 90% of the Song of Solomon is all about him saying, in fact, you know what? I'll read it soon enough. There's a verse coming up. It's like, what? Oh, yeah. Song of Solomon, they're talking back and forth to each other. And she says, you know what? Your thighs are like mountains. And it's like, what? And then he says, your breasts are like two deer in the hills. What? And all the men are going, where's that book? Where's that book? God has given us a unique love as men. We've been brought up in our culture to suppress it, to not express it, to hide it. We think we've been sold a bill of goods that it's somehow weird, off, goofy. When we were young and silly in love, we didn't think twice about buying flowers for our fiance or for our wife in those early years. We got the chocolates and we opened the door. We did whatever you did. It was all fresh and new and exciting. You didn't care what anybody thought. And that shouldn't end. But there's the other side of love also, where a man's love is absolutely special. Now, 90% of the Book of Ruth is actions regarding the art of doing love. Boaz incredibly serves Ruth, does he not, in that book? Solomon in the other speaks. Boaz does. Isn't it interesting that both those men of the Bible in Hebrew thinking equate to Messiah? Does not Jesus Christ not only say he loves you, but does he not show you he loves you? It's awesome. The Bible says in Genesis 29:18, 29:18 down to verse 20, it says, "Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.' And Laban," that's her dad, "said, 'It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me.'" Look at verse 20, and all the ladies are going to say, "Oh." "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only but few days to him because of his love he had for her." Oh, isn't that awesome? A unique love a man has. And it's expressed in a unique way. And sometimes as men, we need to articulate that. We need to show that. As husbands and wives tonight, you really ought to, I mean this, you really ought to just unplug the TV or just sit down somewhere without any interruption and begin to talk to each other and say, "You know what, in light of Wednesday night's message, let's talk about something." Most families, most couples are too scared to do what I'm about to say. But for him to say, "Honey, can you tell me what is really vital and important and what means so much to you that if it would come from me, what is that?" She might say, "I mean, I've heard it all." It might be, "You know what, that you would say this or that you would do this." And you, I mean, it's the sky's the limit as to what the definition is. It's as unique as a snowflake regarding your own relationship. "Honey, you know what? Frankly, I wish you'd brush your teeth more. That would really mean a lot to me." Or she would say, "You know what? I would just love for you, the moment you come home from work, I would just love for you just to walk right up to me and just ask me, 'How's my day? How's my day been?'" We'll either side with Christ and obey the scriptures and love her as Christ loves the church, or we will adopt the ways of the world. And the ways of the world is death. You think you're going to learn how to be a husband by watching the way the world does it? You know, in Orange County, if you've been married over 7 years, your marriage is a miracle. Hollywood, 7 months. Unbelievable. And so here's your assignment for point number three. It is this, guys. It's okay for us to be gentle, loving, kind, caring. It's okay to express your feelings to your wife. So you know what? This is what I think and feel about. This is why this is, and share, talk. This totally goes against our grain. I grew up in a home, nobody talked. That's it. Well, I guess my dad said, "Take out the trash." My dad said, "Mow the lawn." That was it. My dad didn't talk unless something had to get done. My mom, she spoke pidgin English, if you know what that is. She was so hard to understand, you learn that after a while. But we'd have friends over, my mom would say something. Very quiet home. We had a big grandfather clock, and that's my memory of growing up. You ever see two couples out at a restaurant and they eat? They never talk? It breaks my heart. It really bothers me. They're sitting there and there's nothing. It hurts. That's not even my marriage and it hurts. I want to just jump in the table there and say, "Hey, how's the weather?" A husband can show so much love by just engaging himself into her world. Number four, being a Christian while being a husband in this world. And what does a Christian husband look like? Number four is that God has given us the ability, guys, regarding a unique word. Men, we have been given by God the opportunity to speak a word to our wives. And listen, even tonight, no matter how broken and tried and upset your marriage might be, God has programmed a marriage that when the husband speaks a word that creates, listen, that creates hope. When a husband begins to speak a word, it is amazing because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, Genesis 1. You know what's amazing about a man who's been created in the image of God and who the Bible says that the man's the head of the house and the head of the wife? You know what's so great about that? He can step into the house or to her world and speak a word and totally cause her to blossom into an incredible woman. It's amazing. You say, "I don't believe it." Oh yeah, well then reverse it. A man has the ability to walk into a living room and say something to her that will destroy her for the rest of her life. Don't tell me God hasn't given us the power to build up our wives. I believe God has given us guys as husbands the ability to speak the word of God into our wives' lives, and it will change them. We don't change them. I don't want to change my wife. I do not want to change my wife. I want my wife to be who God made her to be. You know why? Because if that happens, I'll be happy as a clam, because I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to think. But if the Lord has his way with Lisa, I'm going to be happy. Why? Because God loves me. You understand that? So many people spend their married life fighting, building up walls, scar tissue, pain and hurt, numb, dead. And right before them, a word spoken can change the entire thing. God's word, when a man begins to pick up the word of God, and he can say it this way, honey, this has been a ridiculous marriage. I've messed it up. We've had our difficult times, but I'm telling you right now, I am going to do my best. So you pray for me. I'm going to do my best to speak encouraging words into your life. And guys, we need to do that. A husband has the power to create a world inside that marriage, inside that home. The power of a husband's word is amazing. Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. Ruth 2:8. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, not really, it's a term of endearment, not his daughter. You know that. Listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls, watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. That was not legal. This is major. At this, she bowed down her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? I'll tell you why. He was nuts about her. Remember that? He said, who's this cutie? And he began to show her favor. And look how he speaks to her. I don't care how recent you've been married or how long you've been married. Start speaking great words of love. Tell her, seriously. Tell her that she's beautiful. Tell her that you like her hair. Start studying your wife, guys. Look at her. Take the time to look at her, study her from head to toe, and then begin to speak. You know what? You have awesome hair. Tell her. I've heard this before. Pastor, if I tell her that, I'm afraid that she'll get conceited, and I don't think that's godly. I'm serious. Inside, I was just pounding that guy for saying, but listen, buddy, compliment her. Because you know what? If you don't, Satan will find somebody too. Happens every day. Every day. You compliment her. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and for necessary for edification, that you may impart grace to the hearers. Where do you think that begins? You think that's just a church verse? Oh, let's speak nice to one another. Where? In church? Forget it, man. I'd rather have you speak to your husband and your wife kindly at home than at church. Because we're only together for an hour and a half. Maybe longer tonight. But home? And if you have kids, how cool is that? When your kids see, oh, there's mom and dad. How gross. They're kissing again. Oh, there he goes. He's telling mom she's beautiful. And she's telling him how strong he is. You know, kids make fun of that stuff and they love it. Makes a kid feel great. But we're not talking about kids. We're talking about husbands and wives. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be shared. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt. You ever order some food that's rotten? I don't mean rotten. That's bland. Bland. What do you do with it? Give me some salt. Man, a marriage should be absolutely salty and pepper and all the spices, you know? It's amazing. So here's your homework before we leave point number four. Guys, start speaking words that build up your wife, that compliment her, that encourage her, and you'll see her just absolutely light up. Just start doing it. I don't want to hear, after service tonight, I don't want to hear, well, you know, I just can't do that. I'm not going to listen to you. Just do it. There's no excuse for you to just do this. Number five, a husband has been given a unique influence that nobody on the planet has. Only a husband can influence his house to become a Christ-centered home. God has ordained a husband to have that ability. And here's how it usually goes, especially if you're just going to start now. Let's create the worst scenario possible. You just came to Christ recently. You have two or three teenagers in the house. And you come home and you say, hey, listen, we went to church last Sunday. You know, we had a good time. We accepted Christ. Here's the deal. All right. And you have to figure out when this works, because you know how everyone's going all kinds of directions. Maybe the morning's not a good time. Maybe it's in the evening. But, and I mean this, take 3 to 5 minutes maximum. Maximum. And say, kids, this is the deal. Get around the table. And I'm telling you, if you have to bribe them, do it. And I'm not joking. If you say, listen, get around the table, believe me, you're gonna like it. If you have to give them candy or a dollar bill, I don't care what you have to do. A dollar bill. Give them the candy. It's worth more than the dollar bill. Gather them around. Dad, what are we doing? What? Oh, brother. Oh, Dad's a big Christian now. What are you doing? Let it go. Just let it go. Don't get an argument with them. Let them. They're gonna. Well, what are you doing? Just listen. Get around. Get around. Come here. Up. Ready? Here we go. Lord, bless my kids. Bless this home. Keep them safe in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let them go. Listen. You say that's no. It's got to be deeper than that. We got to take them to the Greek and the Hebrew meaning and the syntax of the. You'll ruin your family doing that. You'll ruin them. Your kids, I'm telling you, will just be delighted. You see, yeah, but Jack, we're not talking about kids. That's exactly right. A wife, if she sees that happening, she will say, you know what, this crazy nut, that's amazing. That's amazing. God has given us an opportunity that is absolutely, or an influence, I should say, that is absolutely spectacular. John 4, verse 53. It says there, when Jesus had touched the son, that the father knew that he was in that self same hour healed as Jesus had spoken. And Jesus said to the man, your son lives. And he himself, the man, listen, he himself believed and his entire household believed. How does that happen? I have seen homes turn around dramatically when a husband gets committed to Jesus and that wife, she's turned around completely. Absolutely amazing when the man steps up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called Being a Christian While Being a Husband. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our hope is that if you are a husband, you'll come to know Jesus as your personal Savior who will help lead you and guide you to be the best husband you can possibly be. Being a Christian While Being a Husband, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. A collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, in real life, we have an enemy who doesn't want us to prosper, nor does he want the husband to be a Christ follower who loves his wife, treasures her, and defends her with all of his being. To be the leader of the house is a 24/7 calling. That's why we'd like to especially encourage husbands to get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It's on-the-go inspiration and immediate access to media resources, sermons, devotions, podcasts, and so much more. It's even going to connect you with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube. Simply head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Real Life app icon, then click on the specific link to download for your type of device. It's real easy, and you can find that Real Life app at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.